This is Energy of Business Moments with Michael Sipe, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their business success into your life and business. Energy of Business Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Michael Sipe.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the Energy of Business Moments podcast on the Strategic Advisor Board Network. I am Michael Sipe, your host for today. I am thrilled to have one of my mentors and coaches, Stacy Hartman, on the show today. Stacy comes from Minnesota, and she is a wonderful, wonderful person. But the reason I have her on the show today is we talk about strategy and growing a business. And sometimes we can put the best practices in place for the growth of that business. We've got a lot of great people on our show and on other shows that can tell us how to run that business and do it better. But sometimes things fall flat. And when they fall flat, there's usually a reason behind why they're falling flat. And sometimes it's the energy of why. And that is exactly why Stacy is here today. So Stacy is an entrepreneur, multi-time millionaire. She has taught many, almost thousands of people actually, on how to grow their business, how to scale, how to do well with their business, and how, more importantly, to have it sit well with you. So Stacy, thrilled to have you on the show and welcome.
Thank you. Good topic. Let's dive right in.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a topic that's probably near and dear to you because you've also written a book called Metaconscious Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And while that's just one of the many things that you've done, it kind of encapsulates a lot of what you've taught, what you've been modeling, what you've been doing yourself in your own business. So I guess what would be great is if you could tell us, besides being a mom, besides being successful in certain areas, we're also human too. And we have our ups and downs. And that's part of what the show is about, is like talking about those ups and downs in business. So if you could tell us a little bit about you, where you come from, and, you know, what's your shtick? What makes you get up and going for the day?
Well, I have to say, like, one thing that's crystal clear to me and has been since I started my business is that my mission, my why, is to transform really wealth consciousness. And I see business as the vehicle to do that. So my background is I was a juvenile probation officer. I worked with disadvantaged youth, a lot of low socioeconomic families, saw, you know, the impact of those financial struggles, and also saw a lot of really incredible things happening for those families, the connection, the love, the fun, so many of those things. And so I very early in my career started questioning, like, what is it about money and what is it about wealth and where are we missing the mark? And so that's really like when we talk about energy and consciousness and then when we bring it into business, my ultimate mission is to get more money circulating through the hands of high conscious, heart-centered, caring, compassionate people who really have a great relationship with detaching from money, but we are the people that when we circulate money with love and light and intention, actually will change the world. And so I see business as the vehicle, the ultimate vehicle to fully be in charge of our financial destiny and the money we get to create, and then how we can intentionally use it to better our lives, to better the world. And so that's my big, big vision that started way back. It's always been about the money. It's always been about conscious money and how to use business to be able to create that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And of course, that's, of course, what attracted me to you, for you to be a mentor for me a few years ago. And obviously, that had a huge impact for me and my shift in consciousness. So replicate that across many different people and seeing all these different things that have evolved since you've made that shift so long ago and started on that mission. I'm curious, though, you know, sometimes people get into business perhaps for the wrong reasons and things kind of fall flat. So not to say that we haven't had our own moments when things have gone totally haywire and we've had to regroup and start all over again sometimes, but more importantly for you as a mentor and sort of a role model, what have you seen that are challenges that people typically have in approaching business and then maybe later talking a little bit about growing their business?
Yeah. Actually, I'm gonna shift that and answer your first question about like some of those less stellar moments in my business and the amazing lessons that came out of it that actually catapulted and propelled my mission even further. And so I remember very clearly, very early in my business, I lost myself and I just got so enamored with online marketing and funnels and numbers that before I knew it, as my business on paper was growing, 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 I started seeing the incredible humans coming through my business as numbers. They were just numbers on paper. I forgot that there were real people behind the numbers. And it didn't take long then for that disconnect to settle in and for me to not have any enjoyment in running my business anymore. Like no amount of external success mattered anymore. Everything inside of me just wanted to burn it all down. And so I did. And then I started to go broke. And that was awesome as well, because that was my ultimate lesson. Was I was sitting in my office. I had a red line, basically, like if my income, if my checking account goes below here, I must get a job. I just will have to get a job. And I had this like stroke of inspiration that I was like, and if that happened, then what? And if I allowed myself to go to worst case scenario, and if I lost everything, I lost my home, I lost everything, then what? And I had this realization that with that, what remains is still my relationships, connection, love, peace, joy, laughter, all of these things. And it hit me like a tidal wave that everything I'd been working so hard for, that I thought and believed that making more money or reaching the next level and then the next level, all on the back of never, ever being enough, I realized that I was working so hard for something I already had. And that completely changed my relationship with money. And I thought, okay, now if I already have everything and I have nothing to be afraid of and I have nothing to lose, now how do I want to show up in my business? And I said, I'm just going to serve the heck out of people. And every single week I woke up and I said, what is something I could share today that would create true transformation, that would make the biggest difference in an entrepreneur's life? And I would share it, I would write it, I would do a video, I would have no call to actions, ask for nothing in return. And then my business kicked into 100K in 90 days without me even trying to make any money. And so that's like the perfect lesson, that it's like it took the rock bottom of losing myself and my soul to actually experience the wisdom and the truth that then I was able to bring forth now in my business and grow it in a new, authentic way.
Yeah, I love that. And that last word you just used, authentic way, right? A lot of us can smell a rat. We can smell when somebody's not authentic. And sometimes people are motivated out of scarcity or lack or a sense of separation. And when they have that sense of separation as a consumer, as a buyer, they want somebody that seems to have that. And so they'll go after whatever it is that gets them not feeling separated from what they don't have, right? Yeah. And then, but then that's not genuine. And so when you have something and you know it's important to you, like the joy, the compassion, the sense of community, the connectedness that you talked about, once you realize you have that, then your whole perspective shifts to one of looking for things and now being of service. And when we can be of service, you just said, that's when you can be authentic. And when you're authentic, it's a super attractor. It mm-hmm. draws people, right? Because you're giving of yourself, giving of the wisdom of the divine, if you will. And I think that is just so powerful. And the testament to that and is, hey, people started signing up with you, started working with you. And then what did that do? It just magnified. Then they went off and did well, right? So, so maybe you could share a little bit with us about, you know, how that shift that you just talked about from going from like rock bottom to having that whole new perspective opened up more opportunities. What were those additional opportunities? How did you start serving even more?
Yeah. You know what? It's such a great question. I love that word that you use, super attractor, because that's exactly what happens. And, you know, I know you talk about the levels of energy on this podcast. And really what we're talking about is this transition from levels one, two, and three, where business is all about me, myself, and I, and level three, where we try to pretend like it's about other people, but inside, if we really examine our intention, it's still really about us. And the shift that happened that turned me and my clients and all of us into super attractors is this shift beyond level three into level four, which is service, no strings attached, just pure service. And so it's such a great word to say, as soon as we start shifting into those higher levels of consciousness and energy, what happens in our business. And so the opportunities that started, it creates momentum that it's like almost inexplainable. And it is also tapping into a whole new level of flow. You know, it's everything becomes more effortless. And it sounds kind of like a utopia. We see a lot of advertising out there. It's easy. It's this. It's that. There's still dark moments every single time that we're going to go through an up level. We're going to bump against ourselves and we're going to have the void and shadowy moments and hard times that feel hard. And while that still happens, it's just bumping up to that next level and that next level of super attracting, really. So I noticed that for me, having that realization, and for any of us, as soon as we realize that we already have it all, that we can have it all with zero money, and the more that we can swing the pendulum into like literally giving ourselves permission, like sometimes we tell ourselves extreme stories, like, I'll be living under a bridge. It's like, well, go there, go live under the bridge. Not like literally, but in your imagination, like I don't recommend it literally, but
right.
Go under the bridge in your imagination. Just put yourself there and then ask yourself, and what would still remain? And you have all the answers. So what that does then in business is it creates detachment. So if at the end of the day, even if worst case scenario plays out and I'm living under a bridge and I still have access to the access to all of those things, now money serves a new purpose for me. Now money doesn't give me the things that I think I'm missing. It gives me new experiences of those things using money as the tool to do so. So now money can amplify it. I don't need it though. I'm whole and complete. I have everything in nothing. I can create and manufacture everything in nothingness. And now also, however, wouldn't it be cool if I could also not only experience the beauty in nature for free, but also surround my environment with beauty and use money as a tool to amplify more beauty in my life. I don't need that beauty. I can go into nature anytime for free. But the reality is money can be a tool to literally create even more of what already is, as opposed to fill a gap of lack that we think we don't have.
Right. Oh, so true. And when we see that beauty, right, that beauty you talked about, like, for example, in nature, but the beauty can also be when the chocolate and the peanut butter, your product A and somebody else's product B, come together in a joint venture and you just blow it up because there's so much demand for that kind of service. And so you had to come from nothing and that awareness of, hey, there could be something else out here. There's beauty everywhere. And then we see that because we're already sort of at a frequency, if you will, of something that works together. And that beauty of working together, that collaboration, is I think one of the sweetest parts of business is the creative juices really start happening when we see that there's potential for beauty out there, and we start asking questions like, I wonder what we could do next. And so when wonder and curiosity start coming in there, I'd like to hear what you have to say about what that mindset of curiosity does for the entrepreneur or for the business.
Yeah, it, you know, wonder and curiosity, it is so childlike, right? And that's really what it is it brings a playfulness into business. It brings that childlike wonder and curiosity, that believing in the impossible, tapping into the imagination. And that childlike curiosity and wonder opens us up to infinite possibilities. So like you said, with joint ventures or new business ideas, everything starts with an idea, and opening up to that space of curiosity just cracks open a whole vault of ideas as opposed to conclusions. So curiosity versus conclusion. Conclusion is, this is what I'm going to do. This is how my business is going to go. Conclusions cut off all those possibilities. So as soon as we go into, I wonder, and even about everyday things, I wonder how this social media post is going to perform. I wonder who's going to interact with it. I wonder about absolutely everything instead of being like, this is going to work or this isn't going to work, or drawing any sort of conclusions, which then cuts us off from that creativity and everything that's available to us to really capitalize on.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So tell me, you know, we love hearing stories, right? We all like to be entertained at times. And so for our audience, how about you share with us either a personal story that's along those lines, or somebody who's a client of yours, something that kind of touches to that point exactly?
Yeah. So, oh gosh. I feel like it's like hard to come when it's such a part of your being. I feel like, oh, a specific story. It's like, well, gosh, I've got like six from this morning. How do I do this? You know? So, however, I will say, and I'm going to make this pretty practical and tactical. It's an overarching, philosophy or view or perspective that I'm generally operating out of my business. I burnt my business down multiple times, burnt out, or just it came out of alignment. And then this higher level of consciousness of deep trust and surrender, like, and a commitment to alignment at all costs, and knowing that if it's out of alignment, that I can fully surrender it and release it. I don't have to hold on to anything. So I've done that multiple times in my business. So more recently, I let my business go and took a complete hiatus, pretty much, went into hiding for 2 years. Other opportunities came up. I actually went back into a full-time job, leadership position. Never thought in a million years, after being an entrepreneur for a decade, that I'd go back into a job, but just life just organized itself around me as I took this hiatus. So just recently, I came back into business and I started being visible again. I came out of hiding. And for me, the story around curiosity here is, I had no clue what I was stepping into. I've been out of the game for a couple of years. And so I just came in and said, this is a big, massive experiment for me. I have no idea if the algorithm's gonna like me or not. I have no idea if there's still people out there that are interested in hearing what I have to share. Like, I don't know anything. I'm like a brand new baby entrepreneur again, even though I had all this experience. So that was really like the time that I really leaned on, like, I really wonder what's gonna happen here. But I'm called to express myself, and I'm called to share a message, and I'm called to be visible in my mission again. And I know that, and that is enough. So now I'm going to just do that, but I'm really curious to see how the heck this is going to go. And so over, so I just kept that frame of mind. And in the last 75 days, again, complete hiatus, no visibility on social media, no marketing, no nothing, no list building, nothing. And in the last 75 days, our business generated $160,000. We did no sales calls. We did very little social media posting. I took three vacations. Like, it was in 100% alignment and flow, and money just started pouring in through that authentic expression and curiosity of just, I'm just going to do an experiment here. Let's see what happens. I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that. And it feels like throwing spaghetti at the wall, but there's no desperation behind it when there's curiosity. There's no graspiness. It's just like one of my favorite quotes from Richard Branson. We either win or we learn. It's like, I'm going to win either way. So I'm just going to see what happens. And what happened is, talk about a nice re-entry into entrepreneurship, to be so welcomed and be able to serve now 23 new clients in 75 days that are just craving these new age leading edge, business energetics around marketing and selling.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a really great example of what I was hoping you would have to share, because it is true. You know, the story of being out for so long and then going, I wonder, you could almost talk here how you're thinking, like, oh, self-doubt might creep in of like, oh, I've been out for so long. Is my messaging gonna hit? Oh man, I might suck now at writing, or like the audience has changed, or the demographics have changed, like all those little things that eat at the psyche of a business owner. Are there, right? You can't deny that those things are being thrown at us 24/7. And so to be able to demonstrate a mastery of going, those could happen, but coming from a perspective of wonder and curiosity, knowing that, just like you said about Richard Branson, is either I win or I learn, right? And the learning of, yeah, I that didn't work. Okay, well, great. Then I know what I don't need to do now. I need to do something else, right? But it's not, it's that mindset is what makes successful entrepreneurs do well, is because they know that they've got to just move on and not get attached, that ego, that level you talked about, those level one, two, and three, that ego getting attached to the outcome and going, no, I get to shift. And I think it is remarkable. I have seen it time and time again from my perspective. I'm sure you have too, where the people that actually approach it, like you said, where the piece of curiosity of seeing like, hey, I would like to try this. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be of service. I'm going to provide this. And we're going to just see what happens. The people that come at it like that, I it's a majority are successful, right? And success obviously isn't always money. It could be, you know, some other numbers, metric. It could be sense of impact. You know, there could be a number of things that determine success. So it's not just the money piece, but obviously, as you said, you know, creating wealth and creating bounty for the consciousness of mankind is a great, great achievement. So when we're doing that, obviously it makes sense. So I kind of touched on it a little bit there, but how have you taught people, or how have you mentored people around the idea of dealing with those, what we call gremlins, or like, hey, maybe I've got the wrong marketing team, or hey, maybe my product just isn't viable anymore. Like all those negative things can kind of saturate, if not overwhelm, a business owner, an entrepreneur. How do you teach people to deal with that?
Yeah, so this is kind of mind twisty. Is super powerful. And actually it's connected to Michael Singer's work, The Surrender Experiment, yep. Unto the Soul. And Eckhart Tolle, A Whole New Earth, like all this very deep kind of spiritual work. And what it is that our suffering, or our those inner critics, or those messages of doubt, they're actually not, they're like, what happens when we receive them is I see, oh, I have this doubt. I have a problem I need to solve. So we start to see the doubt through a problem framework and a problem lens. And then I say, take the bait. We're like, as soon as we identify a problem, especially as entrepreneurs, we're like on it. Like, we're just like, yep, I'm going to just figure this out, and I'm going to tackle it, and I'm going to figure it out. And where we then create like a lot of our own challenges and frustrations, and actually perpetuate the doubt, because what we focus on, we expand. So if we're focused on doubt and we're focused on a problem, then that problem just keeps popping up all over the place. That's what actually creates this spinning and this stuckness. And so what I love to help people realize is like, actually, like, the doubt's not the problem. The problem is thinking you shouldn't be doubtful. The fear's not the problem. The problem is thinking you shouldn't be fearful. So the bigger inner critic is the judgment around having an experience that we're having. And so anytime that we have any self-judgment, it's like, ooh, if only I were more motivated, or more disciplined, or more... if I had a bigger audience or whatever. It's like, the challenge is never the thing you think it is. It's you thinking it shouldn't be there that's creating the challenge for you. And so when we just accept that we are infinite beings, we are all things, that we will always be limited because we are in a human body. I was using the example, you cannot spin your head 360 degrees, you never will, and you're not beating yourself up for not being able to do that. So when we just have acceptance that we are all things, that we are greedy, that we are selfish, that we are wrong, that we are failures, that we don't matter, that we're insignificant, and also that we're significant and we're generous and we're loving and we're all the things. And so rather than judging that we're something and trying to fix it as a problem, just accept it. Yep, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that, I'm that. So what? Now what do I want to do? If I'm selfish and greedy and I just accept that I'm selfish and greedy, now what do I want to do? But it's the acceptance of it that eliminates the block. It illuminates it and it eliminates it. And it frees up all the energy as soon as you're like, so what? I am a limited person. Why am I trying to be so perfect? And there are times that I'm this and there are times that I'm the opposite. I have the capacity to be all of it. And now if we take this really down a rabbit hole, think about the things we really judge out there in the world as evil or terrible or bad. Guess what? We all have that capacity. And so that judgment and that projection out there is the same thing that is blocking the abundance, the flow, the creativity in our business. So anytime we're judging out there or judging in here, we have leaks that are keeping us from our potential and our power and our super attractors that actually grow our business with more fun, ease, flow, and joy.
Yeah, that's great. The part about the acceptance of the way things are out there and inside, right? And what's, just to give a little more context there, in Michael Singer's book, he talks about the time when he was the CEO of that major technology company, and then they were being investigated for fraud by the Department of Justice. And they were looking for all of these, just, they wanted to basically shut his whole business down. And this was a billion-dollar company, right? And the fact that he surrendered, he wasn't going to like fight it. He was just going to go with it and to see where it led, right? That sense of curiosity and wonder. Yeah, it was a pain in the ass. Yeah, it lasted for like whatever, 6 or 7 years, that whole investigation. But in the end, right, what happened was nothing came of it. The whole thing got dropped, right? And it was, and I think what is so powerful about that approach is not that he went and hid his head in the sand. He was talking about like, hey, maybe this is happening for a reason. You know, clearly I am going to go along and see where this goes. And I think that's the approach that actually allowed that whole thing to just kind of dissolve. And yeah, the bad actors ended up being the ones singled out. And oh, by the way, the Department of Justice was scolded for going down a rabbit hole they didn't need to go down. So to your point, on a much larger scale for a Fortune 500 kind of company, that kind of impact isn't just for the small business or the solo entrepreneur. It's for like big business too.
Yes. Yeah. That's what's wild is everything self-organizes if we allow it to energetically. And it's our interference through our judgment, our attachment, our fear, no matter what size company you have, that interferes with this self-organizing energy that inherently already has the highest good for all, even if we disagree with that highest good. And so I love that example of the bigger companies and how our judgment, no matter what role we play, if we're the CEO, the founder, or a manager, no matter what role we play, our projections are having a direct impact on the company. And and when we open it up and have acceptance, things change.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also thinking of a guest I had on the podcast maybe a year and a half ago, and he talked about how as the business owner, he had a staff and it was an economic downturn, and he was so fearful of letting go of his employees and fighting the letting go and the stigma of having to let people go that he kept them on payroll for too long. And he ended up going into debt. Forget the number, maybe 450,000 or something like that, that he had gone into debt on. And it took him, I think he said like 6 or 8 years to finally pay that debt off. But more importantly, he said, like, I learned the lesson that fighting that adversity hurt me because I should have just accepted where I was, realized that the market just wasn't going to support my staff at that size. And I just had to bite the bullet and say, hey, we gotta pivot and then let people go. So lesson learned, like it, there's, just to add to that in another way I've seen, is that shift that's needed.
Yeah. It goes back into trust, right? It's like so often we have that conclusion, oh, if I do this, I'm harming people or hurting people. So I'm going to do everything in my power to not do that, which is a very noble approach. However, who's to say that that I always say we can connect the dots looking backwards, right? So had we listened or responded to our intuition, our gut, and also the reality of the situation, and I love that your guest, you know, had this realization to like not fight that adversity, because if we, when we just listen to our intuition, or when we just are real, like realistically looking at it, we can fast forward all of those people that we had laid off. And likely, if it was truly coming from a high conscious place, you will find that every single one of them are better off because of the action that was taken, because it was meant to be for everybody's highest good. And but we want that certainty in the middle of these big decisions,
right?
Not
right.
after that.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you touched on something that I find that's important for truly highly conscious leaders, and you probably write about it even more in your book, is that piece you just talked about of intuition. And, you know, if you talk to the heart math folks, they talk a lot about how heart and brain coherence creates a state where we can actually hear and listen to our intuition. And that intuition is 100% accurate. But so often those fears, those doubts, those other things, or the history that we've had, or just our experience, will lead us down a different path than what our intuition will say. And so I'm curious, like for you, like you just touched on a little bit, tell us a little bit more about your insight onto intuition and the role that plays.
Yeah, honestly, I believe that that's the superpower that's responsible for all of the amazing blessings that have been bestowed upon my life and my business. I think it's the number one thing. It's the number one shortcut that I've discovered. The intuition usually guides us down paths that don't make sense logically. It feels very chaotic. I have an idea that the more organized it feels here in our mind, the less support we have from, you know, the higher realms, or, you know, our higher self. And the more disorganized it feels to the mind, the more organized it can be up here. So that's one of the beliefs that I've held that set me up to always listen to my intuition, because I'll receive guidance that's like, but that makes no sense. Like, burn your business down 3 times, you know, like, but that makes no sense. It's successful. It's making money. But everything inside my intuition is saying, it's time, you know, it's time to take a break. It's time to go. Your next creation is coming, is kind of the guidance that I will hear. And it's like, I'll honor that, even though it logically doesn't make any sense. And then every single time, the next iteration of myself, the next version of myself, just brings me a whole new life experience that I never would have been able to tap into had I been holding on to the old version of myself. And so to me, intuition is the ultimate shortcut to everything that we want, to our highest selves. In fact, more recently, I'll just share this story. You know, when I took this hiatus and I stepped into a role with a company, headhunted into this role, the role was created for me. It was a complete honor and an incredible invitation that I was excited to accept. And out of the blue, I knew that I knew that at some point it would be like everything else. It would have to go. And it was literally like one day I was all in the job, and the next day I intuitively heard, it is complete. And it was so neutral and so certain and so clear that I said, so it is. And I gave my notice the next day. You know, a beautiful 6-figure salary, lots of this, that, and the other. You know, all of it, incredible impact. And I just knew. And that was just a couple months ago. And that said, now I can connect the dots looking backwards already 60 days later. It's highly likely, I would guess, there were some additional layoffs that happened. Like, I'm certain that I would have been probably laid off because of the level position I was in. And it was a created position, not for the overall functioning of the company necessarily. So it was like, oh, like the intuition is so powerful. And how would I, and I've been sitting in this question, like, how would I be feeling if I didn't get that intuitive guidance and I didn't listen to it? And instead, like, how many inner critics would be coming up and saying, like, you're not wanted, you know, like, had I been laid off instead of me consciously making the choice to follow my intuition? So it's such a gift. It's such a gift.
It is a gift. And some people think I come across a lot of guys who think like, oh, intuition's only for women. And I'm like, no. Oh my gosh, no. Some intuition comes very easily for people. But one can start small with intuition. And one of the ways that I learned intuition a long time ago was when I was leaving the house, I could always tell if I was forgetting something. I just felt a little uneasy. And so I'd have to pause and like, okay, what am I forgetting? Now, oh, right, I forgot. I got to go get that thing I'm going to mail, or oh, I forgot my keys, or oh, I forgot my phone, or oh, but it was always something small, almost insignificant. But after a while, I got to be able to tell, hey, something's not aligned. And my intuition's like, you're forgetting something. So that little sixth sense can grow into other areas. And I know some people in business that just have that sixth sense, that intuition about where to go. And we can think about all, Henry Ford, we can think about Richard Branson, we can think about Tesla, we can think about all these people that had these what we would call large intuitions, that they just sensed and just knew, but it can be developed. And I love seeing people grow and their intuition just become basically wiser about their choices. And it becomes just a very powerful, and I think that my favorite quote is Steve Jobs, where he says, intuition is more powerful than intellect. So for somebody like him to say something like that, who's already kind of a genius about tech, that speaks volumes to the power. And you obviously have shared even more about that. So thanks.
It's everywhere when we learn how to listen to it. I think the word intuition comes with kind of a stigmatism, but it's like the reality is if you listen to any of those major interviews or you're following anybody, we hear things like, I just knew, or my gut told me. It's like, well, they're not using the word intuition. That's what it is. Like,
Right.
I don't know why I made that decision. I just did. That's intuition. So yeah, anybody who's got any reservations about intuition in any way, shape, or form who's listening right now, as you're listening to people you're admiring or looking up to, you will hear phrases like that, and that is intuition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Stacey, I have so much enjoyed hearing and having this discussion with you and sharing with folks, but often we have people who are influential in our life, and some people times we have people who aren't around us in life. And I like to ask at the end of the show if you could meet anyone deceased or living, who would that be, and why would you want to meet and talk with them?
Well, it's interesting you brought up Richard Branson because at least the story I tell myself about him is he's like my hero. So the story I tell myself about him that makes me want to meet him is that he is, I don't know, maybe in his 80s now, 70s, 80s, been an extremely successful entrepreneur. He's still windsailing, living on his beautiful Necker Island when he wants to be there, has a very heart-centered business, like everything about how he views business, how he conducts business, how he views and still lives life, how he invites entrepreneurs to Necker Island, and just especially see his playfulness, his lightheartedness. I think about in business, we think about asking people who've been married for 6 years, so what's the secret? And they're like, whatever they say, oh, just this, that, and the other. I can imagine having that meeting with Richard Branson saying, what's the secret? And him just saying, just play, just play. And so he feels to me like the role model that could really help me continue to integrate. Don't take things so seriously, just play.
Wow, that would be great to have that. And it's funny, but you talked, you're using your imagination a bit and going like, what would he say? And I have to agree with you. I would, I think he would say that. And yeah, it would be great to get the confirmation in person, but no kidding. Like, you have a role model for decades now of doing that. Why wouldn't he say that? Right. So yeah, so that's great. That's wonderful. Well, Stacey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on the show and sharing your wisdom today. So obviously, you're back and running at it again. And if people want to reach out to you, how can they do so? How can they find you?
Yeah, the best way to connect with me is on social media. Facebook and LinkedIn are my two primary places. So if you look up Stacy Hartman, two N's, I'm certain you'll find me. And then Instagram a little bit, if that's where you prefer to be. But ultimately, that's where I just stay in touch and I ride this wave. I mean, I may be there, I may not. We don't know, but that's the best way to connect with me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's great. Well, again, Stacy, thank you for being on the show today. It's an absolute pleasure. And I'm sure our audience has benefited greatly from it. And hopefully it'll be one of our treasures going forward. So thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Energy of Business Moments with your host, Michael Seip. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we will see you on the next episode.